It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm super excited today. A good friend of mine and someone that is a fellow that is connected here on Empower Radio because he just started doing a super cool thing. He's doing these great little mini podcasts called Heart Notes on Empower Radio that just started. And I listened to a whole bunch of them today. But then I was surfing around. I'm on Facebook and I was looking at his Facebook page, which is called A Coach for Your Heart. And he posted one of my favorite pieces on death. It's called What is Death? It's by Henry Scott Holland. And I started reading it and I thought, I should probably have Ed on the show. I wonder what he's doing because I had an extra opening. Not that he's a last minute thought, but he's kind of a heart-centered guy. And I didn't know that he wanted to talk death. But when I saw the death post, I thought, hey, this guy's fair game. So my guest tonight is Ed McShane. He is a psychotherapist. He is an author. He is a life coach. He has written for public radio and CBS for over 20 years. He's all about heart and spirit. He has a brand new, cool, groovy mini podcast right here on Empower Radio called Heart Notes. His website is acoachforyourheart.com if you'd like to get a hold of him. Or you can go to Facebook, give him a big thumbs up on A Coach for Your Heart, and you can read about the piece that I read today, which is why he's here now. Hey there, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Jane?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Thanks for being on, and thanks for the last minute. You know, I know that life gets crazy, and we're all so busy, and that's why your little two-minute mini podcasts are exactly what I needed. I sat and listened to Humility today, and then I listened to, I love the Stubborn one with Pink. That was brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good stuff. I'm super happy. I'm welcome to the network. Hang on, I got to open up my laptop here. There we go. All right. So, Ed, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, what the heck is a psychotherapist?
It's a person who gives advice that happens to have a degree and a license. The idea is that there's some licensing background, there's some courses you take, but to be perfectly honest, the best advice I ever got during my psychotherapy years was from a psychologist friend of mine. I started when I was about 31, and she said, well, I know this is difficult, but all you really need to do is be kind. And any good psychotherapist really only has to do two things. In 45 to 50 minutes, they have to make sure that the person sitting in front of them knows that they're okay and that it's going to be okay. Mm. In 2011, for a variety of reasons, I went into life coaching, largely because you can do a lot of things that just a governing body will not let you do or will frown upon. For instance, texting your client daily. Mm-hmm. In behavioral, you know, let's get this done in 30 days kind of dynamics, that's required of my clients now, that we speak daily, not wait a week when the therapist is available. So coaching is a little more hands-on. It's a little more right now, using the same kind of strategies as psychotherapists do, but with a little more of a time-intensive response. Mm-hmm. And I still work with therapists, and I work with psychiatrists, and, you know, to kind of round out the whole program. But much of it has to do with a lot of emotional ills that come out in stress, anxiety, depression, things that can be moved through with quicker action and quicker awareness.
Okay. And so as a life coach, do you have people, I'm assuming it's sort of like you want to go to a life coach that has their life dialed in, right? So
yeah.
Do you have people like vet you and check you out to make sure your life is fabulous before they hire you? Because it's sort of like you're not going to go to a dentist with rotten teeth, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for over 30 years. I started as a social worker and then got my master's degree in social work and then, you know, worked, you know, with the boots on the ground social work services that one does when we're trying to be of assistance to others. So I think I have tons of experience. I've seen thousands of people. That sounds a lot, but it's true. And I'm not everybody's ball game. You know, I'm there's a lot of things about me that I'm sure people go, ugh. But for the most part, ask my children. They'll be the first ones to tell you. But the bottom line is that, I would hope I would bring a lot of experience to the table and a lot of sensitivity to a person's needs.
Well, that's great. So you posted just recently a piece, one of my favorite pieces, about death. And obviously, the show is all about that. I developed this show just because of my pure fascination with literally what is next. Do you have thoughts about that? Like, you know, just if you don't mind sharing, what do you feel comes after this life as we know it?
I'm pretty convinced by the things that I've read from people that I trust and from the things that I have felt over the years that they really are just sitting next to you. My brother, who has passed away about a year before he left, he said, you know what I think? That everybody who went before us is sitting in the theater of our lives. They're in the balcony. They're like our balcony people. And he said, everybody's got balcony people. Everybody has those folks just hanging out with us, observing us as we go through. If you read Bernie Siegel's Love, Medicine, and Miracles, which was a groundbreaking book, he talks about people who have come forth as they've been asked. And this is a physician who, when you listen to him speak, you know that he's been around the block a few thousand times. So for him supporting this kind of narrative from a physician and a scientist, I thought was pretty credible. Then you move forward a few years and you look at people who manifest. Pam Grout, who is very popular, talks about, circumstances that just appear. People, as you just think of them, all of a sudden come through the radio because this is something that they said that they do after they're gone. Those who have felt people around them. I just had to put my dog down and I talked to him every day. And I know that he's still with me. Probably not the happiest, but he's still with me. Talk to my dad. I talk to my mom. I talk to my brothers. I speak to them as if they are just in the next room.
Good.
Just as the poem says. So, and I've had people over the years who have come to me. I don't want to say a lot, but quite a healthy number that have said, you know, my husband died and I went into bed and the sheets were down. That happened about 5 years ago. I said, how did the sheets go down? And the woman said, well, he always would put the sheets down before he came into bed so that he could slide in easily. He hated to have to do that. He always, you know, like, really? Okay. Well, there was no question to me. And I was born on the north side of Chicago. I'm from a big Irish Catholic family. None of us believed that. I was not raised with this.
Right.
But there's enough of this anecdotal evidence that has come in my practice, and it has also come from just the things that I've read, that it's like, you know, whatever God is, you know, Allah, Buddha, Muhammad, Christ, Krishna, Mother Earth, Father Sky, Pam Grout calls it the field of infinite potentiality, and George Carlin called it the big electron. That kind of presence is with us, and the people who are gone are just back into the stardust. It doesn't mean they're gone. It's, you know, Greg Boyle, who runs the Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles, he asked the Dalai Lama his thoughts about death, and the Dalai Lama said, change of clothes. and that's the truth. I think it's just a change of clothes. We just kind of, you know, we go back to where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we are in a different space of love. I think we're in a different space of consciousness. The woman from India, had a near-death experience.
And she Anita Morjani.
There you go. And she said that she could see things in a 360,
mm-hmm.
in that kind of peripheral view. Everyone from William Stryan to Steve Jobs have had these extraordinary overtures of expression as they cross over.
Right.
And so, I mean, come on, you know, the evidence is there. And I think the evidence will continue to mount. It's just a matter of our consciousness and our attention being brought to it.
Right. It's fun too. You know, I mean, I love the, there's nothing better for me than to talk about what is next. And by doing so, I feel that we really honor what we're doing today, right now, in this moment. Because to truly embrace it and get happy with it and make friends with death, you know, you get busy with life. Because it's just all, it's all one, right? In my opinion. It's not what
right.
I know. It's how I feel. So that's good. Do you ever worry that maybe people think you're kooky when you start talking to them about stuff? Because that is a concern, or was a concern of mine. And then I thought, who cares?
I don't worry how I'm perceived on that.
Okay.
I used to, I guess. But I think that those who know me know that I really embrace that. And it has helped heal me from a lot of different issues that I've had all through my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my relationship with the universe and with whomever God may be, hopefully she's happy to see me when I get there.
She will be.
Yeah, I hope so. And so, you know, I mean, do people think I'm strange? I don't know. I mean, so many people have come to see me, and when people come to a therapist or a life coach, they're asking for answers, but they're also asking for support on who they are. And so mm-hmm. when those who have come to see me have said, you think this is strange? No, of course it's not strange. If you believe that someone is right sitting next to you as you speak, and you can and you can smell them, or you can see them, or you can hear them, or you can feel them, however that knowledge, however that awareness is presented to you, then that's your experience and yours alone, and no one has the right to criticize you given their place of limited understanding.
Mm-hmm. Or their reality.
Or their reality. I mean, I don't want to sound too pedantic. I don't mean limited understanding in a pejorative way. I mean it more in a, look, you'd be cool if you could learn this, because it's right there, and I think it would be so nice if that was open into your consciousness. But, you know, someday.
This is good. This is good. There's a reason why I opened up your Facebook page and saw that beautiful piece on death.
Yeah, I found that in a drawer. I had it a long time ago. I saw it accidentally after my father died in 1992. He was the chairman of the board of Jim Beam. He sat on the board of directors of American Brands.
Wow.
And as he, yeah, but he was an only child, and he didn't have any friends. And
wow.
people stopped calling him a year after he had retired.
Mm.
When he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, it was a couple of years of a hard fight. And I had seen him in his in the last year before he died. I came upon clumsily the phrase, "Dad, how's the cancer treatments going?" Which you don't really introduce to somebody who's going through cancer unless it's kind of an effortless introduction from them.
Right.
Well, his response was, you know, son, the cancer's nothing compared to the loneliness.
Mm.
And so, oh, yeah. Well, I never had before or since heard cancer described as nothing in comparison mm-hmm. to anything. So
ouch.
When that, and that was given, I found that shortly after he passed over. And I was so happy to see that because it gave such context to the difficulties that he was having when he was alive. It was like, you know what? I'm okay. I'm not lonely anymore. I'm not in pain anymore. I'm doing fine. Just laugh and hang out with me like you used to. It was his permission to me that said, you know that thing I said about the cancer and the loneliness? Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. We're good. So yeah. Since then, I've always had it around me, and I just felt it was a good thing to bring out today.
Yeah, very fitting. It's beautiful. I posted it after my mother left, 2010, October 1st, and it is just such a resonant piece with me. And so it makes sense now because it has the next room in it, which I never realized at the time. So there you go. So
it's all about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about it. Well, what would you like people to remember about you? Like, do you have interest in that legacy and writing your own obituary and all of that? Because I've been talking to a lot of people about, dealing with what is next and coming face to face with it. And actually, sort of like with this Making Friends with Death guide that I got from Laura Pritchett, it's sort of you get comfortable with it. You talk about it. You think about it. What does Ed want people to remember, or what's important for you?
I think that's hopefully going to be established in the next 20 years, because the last 60, people can be defined or remembered by their mistakes.
Mm.
And Edgar Allan Poe said, and I'm butchering this quote, but a lifetime of goodness can be destroyed by one gesture of evil.
Mm.
I think that if I can make the amends to anyone I've hurt, and I'm sure that there are a lot, I think if I can make good to repair any challenges or difficulties that I've caused anybody through my short-sightedness, through my anger, through my inconsideration, that will be part of my legacy, that at least I made an effort to try to make things right.
Right.
I have hopefully another 20 years. I've got a book that's just got finished. And this website, I hope to continue to help some people through the process. So it's not for me to say what I want people to remember. I think it's for people to make their own conclusions, but I just hope I give them some material that they can have some conclusions that are positive. As far as writing my own obituary, it doesn't matter to me. I want to treat people as well as I can now. I just turned 60 in November. I hope that, the next 20 to 30 years are positive. And in that time right now, I create a better relationship with everybody that I cross paths with. And this is where I think I can do, this is where I think my memory is going to be changed, and the remembrances from others will start to have some adhesion to them. I think when people are not remembered well, they're remembered by the worst thing they may have ever done. I talked about Greg Boyle a minute ago. Boyle, in one of his talks, said, I was in Pelican Bay, and there were 60 people there who were in for life, and they all had taken a life, and yet not one murderer was there.
Mm.
He said, because I don't evaluate, I don't judge people by the worst thing they ever did.
Mm.
So I'm hopeful that if I am remembered, and I know I'm probably beating this into the ground, Jane, but if I'm remembered, it's remembered for maybe something that I made a difference in, made somebody smile, or made them feel better about themselves.
Well, I love that. I think that that's, I think you will. ACoachForYourHeart.com is a good start. I mean, I've been clicking around on the page quite a bit, and you have really beautiful inspiration. There's testimonies about love. There's loneliness, love, money, death, of course, my favorite topic. It's a good website. And, you have a gift. And I really, really love these little heart notes. You're brand new to Empower, but with the, let's just say that the attention span these days of most people is about the size of a gnat. So your little mini, your little mini podcasts are, and I hope people don't get it. They're like, okay, I'll show you, click. I love that. I really, like, as I was listening to them today, I'm like, oh, I have time to listen to three of these in a row, 6 minutes, boom. Really, really good. I think it's necessary and I love it. I'm really a fan. So I'm really hopeful that you'll continue to do it. It's called Heart Notes with Ed McShane, and it's on Empower Radio, which happens to be this fabulous network. And acoachforyourheart.com is where you can find all of Ed's great. There's articles, there's blogs, there's information to help you if you're hurting or lonely and you just need somebody to talk to you. So we have about 5 minutes to go.
Sure.
Is there something that you would like to talk about that I haven't touched on?
Well, two things. One is that I want us to see that there's more flexibility in what we think is out there. Mm. We are so defined by what we see. We're so defined by that which is negative. And mm-hmm. the negativity, you know, it's generated by pain. And I know as a human being, we have to give attention to that. If you ask someone what the third toe on their left foot feels like, they're not going to be able to tell you very accurately, but you slam that thing into a wall and that's the only thing they'll be able to tell you about. It is like that in life all the time. And mm-hmm. if we're aware that the traffic, the prices, our, you know, gray hair, whatever, always grabs our attention, we can make a choice not to give it the attention it's trying to grab.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, you can begin to expand the focus. The topography of your life just started to stretch out for miles in every imaginable direction. The second thing that you want to do to be able to increase your bandwidth spiritually is refuse the fear. I read a book called The Map by a woman named Bonnie Lonsberry, and it was a really good book on the spiritual aspects of manifestation and just believing that you have what you're looking for. And it's based on the old Marcus Aurelius quote, whatever a man thinketh, so he is. There's something mm-hmm. in Mark, in the Bible, if you, whatever you pray for, if you believe that you've received it, it is yours. And I think that's Mark 24:11. So you believe what you can see. That's great. But you believe that which you know and really attach that spiritual connection and that faith to it. Whomever you believe is, you know, pulling the strings, you'll see all of the possibilities in life and you'll begin to see all those and feel all those and hear all those and experience all those that have passed before you.
Mm.
But that sense of pushing the pain away, pushing the hurt away, focus on something a little less intrusive, have that sense of faith, have that sense of belief, and just know that everything's going to be okay and it takes practice. You'll start to accelerate and elevate that sense of consciousness. The last thing I'll say is this. I used to have a watch on my left wrist. I now have a bracelet that says Exhale Gratitude.
Mm.
It is not the happy that are grateful. It is the grateful that are happy. And if you stay grateful, if that's the only thing that you do and it's the only thing that people remember from this, from the interview with me, that begins to raise your consciousness and that begins to increase the feelings of all of those that are around you that are trying to get your attention.
Mm. Amen, my brother. All right. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. I really thoroughly enjoyed this. My notes are all over the place, but it is about choosing another thought, you know, and we do have that on a day-to-day basis, you know, hour to hour, minute to minute, we can sit there and choose a better thought. If we don't like it, discard it and move forward. A coachforyourheart.com, my guest, very lively, fun interview with Ed McShane tonight. It's Heart Notes with Ed McShane on Empower. If you'd like to listen to him, do me a favor and go to Facebook and give him a thumbs up. It's Coach for Your Heart. Or go to coachforyourheart.com if you're interested in speaking with Ed and to go further, because he certainly has a lot of gifts to share. So thank you so much. Short notice, I know, but I really appreciate you pulling out the stops, pulling over the side of the road, and going on the next room with me, Ed.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jane. Anytime.
Thank you so much. I will talk to you again soon. You've been listening to The Next Room with Jane Asher and Ed McShane. Please do me a favor and check out Ed Heart Notes with Ed McShane on Empower Radio.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.